The Christian life is full of blessing and hope and purpose. But we also know that the devil is actively engaged in opposing God and his people. The Christian life is a blessing, and it's a spiritual war. And believers are called to be faithful soldiers in this war. Welcome to Delight in the Word, the preaching ministry of Paul Tauchus, pastor at Cornerstone Community Church in Cleveland, Ohio. In this broadcast, Pastor Paul preaches from Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30, in a message titled, A Soldier of Christ. Let's open our Bibles there as we together delight in the Word.
Let's continue this morning in the book of Philippians, if you will turn there. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and follow with me, please, as I begin reading in verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. As the Apostle Paul in last week's passage commended Timothy, so he now commends Epaphroditus, whom he refers to in verse 25 as my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. And the way that that sentence is constructed, it is that it draws attention to that middle description, the third of the five descriptions. That is, he is a fellow soldier. Why does the Apostle Paul do that? Why does the Apostle Paul call attention to Epaphroditus as being a soldier? Well, we need to understand that as believers, we are called to live as disciplined soldiers. We are strengthened by his grace, but we are not in a war alone. We are strengthened by the grace of God, but we are members of an army, God's army. And so as believers, we are not alone. We are together. We are fellow soldiers. And so we are called to be involved in the lives of other soldiers who are a part of this battalion, those who are committed to the work of the gospel, are fellow soldiers. With this in mind, Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." The soldier metaphor is an apostolic favorite in the New Testament. The apostles saw the necessity for believers to realize that we are engaged 24/7 in a spiritual warfare. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter exhorts us, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Our adversary, the devil, is always prowling about seeking to devour us, to consume us, to distract us, to cripple us in discouragement, that the gospel may be thwarted. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For, this is the reason, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." The Apostle Paul is clear. He's saying, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are committed to following Christ all of your days, then mark this down. You are in a war. But it is a spiritual war. It is an invisible war. It's a war against not flesh and blood, but rulers and authorities and cosmic powers who have dominion over this present darkness, which is a way of describing the darkness that pervades our world. There is a spiritual darkness over our land and over our world, and Satan is involved in that. And so the ancient hymn is a call to arms. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. Oh, then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. See, being a follower of Jesus is not easy. It never has been. The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield, and the greatest conflict surrounds the work of the church in spreading the gospel. We tread where many others have trod. Therefore, Paul warned the young pastor Timothy that being a soldier in the Christian army meant that he was not going to be able to live like everyone else. He was in active service. And those of you who have been in the military or are in the military, you understand what that means. When you are in active service, you have commitments that must be kept. And you cannot afford to be entangled, as Paul says, with the affairs of everyday life. To be entangled means to be entwined or woven into. In other words, Timothy's commitment as a soldier would not allow him to be woven into or bound to the mundane things of living in this world. He was called to live for something higher. He needed to live above so that he could please his commanding officer. See, there is a price to pay in being a soldier. And when you come to Christ for salvation and forgiveness of sins, you are not entering the comfort life. You are entering war. And you must realize that you are a soldier from God's viewpoint. And you are to take up the armor of God. And you are to use the word of God to do battle against the forces of darkness. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in active service with him. Fix your eyes on him. But in addition to fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the scriptures do provide for us examples of other men who are worthy to follow And we see one of those men here. His name is Epaphroditus. His name is derived from Aphrodite, which was a very common name in that period. It means lovely or charming or amiable. Perhaps his family had been worshipers of the goddess Aphrodite, and so he is a Gentile convert out of paganism. In verse 19, last week, we saw that it was Paul's desire to send Timothy to the church to minister to them. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Why? Because verse 20 says, I have no one like him. No one who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare to the degree that Timothy is. And so Paul hopes to send Timothy soon, but he really doesn't know when he is going to be able to. Why? Because he's not quite sure how things are going to go with him in prison. And so Paul sent this letter, the book of Philippians, with this man, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is the servant that we want to focus our attention on this morning. I want you to look at the commendation that the apostle brings to the church. And in this commendation of Epaphroditus, I want you to see four qualities of being a good soldier of Christ. First, notice, a soldier of Christ exemplifies a life of service. Verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, messenger, and minister. Paul uses five terms to describe this servant named Epaphroditus. Paul says he is my brother. That's a tender word. It's a term of endearment. And it recognizes the familial nature of the church. That is, that the church is a family. See, the New Testament uses family language to describe the church more than any other type of language. Over 250 times in the New Testament, you will read words like brother and brethren and sister. As believers in Jesus Christ, we experience our closest bonds with those who also love Christ and have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. It's where your closest bonds will be as a believer. Paul says, he's my brother. What that means is he's a blood-bought brother. He's someone Jesus died for. Jesus shed his blood to purchase this man's salvation. He is my brother. It's a tender, affectionate word. And the next two terms give additional reason for the close bond between Paul and Aphrodite. They were co-workers in gospel ministry, and they endured ministry conflict together as soldiers. Notice verse 25, he refers to Aphrodite as a fellow worker. This doesn't refer to every believer in general, but to those who worked side by side with the apostles in the cause of spreading the gospel. So this is a partner in ministry, someone who is spreading the gospel and building up the church along with Paul. See, the Apostle Paul considered himself merely a worker in God's field, one of the workers in God's building, the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, we read this, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The reason Paul said that is because the believers in Corinth were having divisions over their favorite teacher. And Paul says, no, your eyes are in the wrong place. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God is the one who should get all of the glory because God is the only one who can bring about the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. So, as believers in Christ, we need to understand we are fellow workers with God in his work of spreading the gospel and seeing souls saved. There were other fellow workers that were mentioned in the New Testament. For example, in Romans 16, verse 3, Paul writes, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their lives for my neck." No, who risked their necks for my life. That's what he said. My eyes are playing tricks on me this morning. Or Romans 16:9, "Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ." Fellow worker. Then he refers to Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier. And this is the most specific description. And as I already said, it serves as the center of the descriptive terms that are used here. Here's a man who has endured spiritual conflict with Paul against satanic forces and perhaps even against the very same opponents. But these opponents, as Paul reminded the Corinthians, were empowered by the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We are in a war, and the war is against the evil one. And the word of God is our sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's interesting in that Ephesians 6 passage that I read earlier, if you read through the whole passage, you discover there's only one offensive weapon in our armory. Everything else is defensive. The one offensive weapon is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only weapon we have that does power against the evil one. How does it do that? 2 Corinthians 10, it breaks down the strongholds of lies, Satan's lies, and false doctrine. Epaphroditus was a soldier committed to using the weapon of the word. He's also called a messenger. Look at verse 25. A messenger, that's pretty simple to understand. That's one who delivers a message, or in this case, a gift. You look at chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul says, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." See, Epaphroditus had brought the financial gift to Paul in Rome, and now Paul is sending this letter of thanks back with Epaphroditus to Philippi to thank them for their sacrifice. He is the messenger. Refers to him as your messenger. That is the messenger of the church. "And minister to my need." The word minister is a person, it refers to a person who renders him service in a very specific way. And Paul mentions some of the specific ways that Epaphroditus ministered to him and to the church. But all of these descriptors together emphasize the fact that here is a man who gave his life to the work of God. He dedicated his life to God's service. With little thought of himself, he gave his life as a living sacrifice to the Lord who had died for him. And that is the biblical call to every one of us as believers. Not just to men who are called to be pastors or missionaries or elders. Every single believer, Romans 12:1 says, is called to offer up his or her life as a living sacrifice to God. Why is that? It's because your life and my life don't belong to us. Your life is not your own. You are not your own, Paul said to the Corinthians. You have been bought with a price. How foolish and arrogant then it is for believers to go through their whole lives without seriously considering what is God's call upon my life. you're one of those Christians who wants to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you will regret it someday. Mark it down. You will. You will come to realize the futility, the emptiness of loving the world and serving the world. Here's a man who gave himself to the service of Christ. And that's what a good soldier does. A good soldier exemplifies life service, a life of service to Christ and to others. But we see a second quality. Look at verse 26. A soldier of Christ also exudes a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion, for he, Epaphroditus, verse 26, has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. So Paul reveals two reasons he decided to send Epaphroditus right away. He wanted to send Timothy, but no, it wasn't going to work out this time. But news needed to get to the church because they were very worried. They were very anxious about Epaphroditus and his health. And Epaphroditus had an intense yearning to see them, it says. He has been longing for you all. That's a strong desire. It's an intense concern for them. And so Paul wanted to send him. And he was greatly distressed, it says, because you heard that he was ill. So Epaphroditus was greatly distressed by their anxiety. That's what compassion is, by the way. Compassion is coming alongside someone and walking in their footsteps, walking through life with them. Not throwing stones at them from outside, thinking you are a better sinner than they are. But you come alongside them as a fellow struggler, as a fellow sinner, and you have compassion. You want to walk through life with them. And the Philippians had heard about the illness of Epaphroditus, and their hearts were gripped by it. As a result, he was distressed. He was upset. He was troubled. The word refers to great mental and spiritual anguish. If you're one of these believers who thinks that a true Christian is above mental suffering, you have not read your Bible lately. These people were upset, troubled, in a deep mental anguish. The word describes the stress that follows shock. This is reality, folks. This is living in a real world, in real bodies that are under the effects of sin. We live in a sin-cursed world where nothing goes as we think it should go. And there is shock, and there is stress that comes from that shock. The only other time this word is used is of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to describe the mental anguish that he was experiencing before he went to the cross. Why was this man so distressed? He was distressed, Paul says, because he had heard of their anxiety over his condition. He was ill, verse 30 says. He nearly died for the work of Christ. So whatever the illness was, whatever the affliction was, it was somehow connected to his service for Christ and the opposition that he was experiencing because of his commitment to Christ and the gospel. So after leaving Philippi, Epaphroditus had become very ill, and ill, Paul says, to the point of death, and somehow his friends in Philippi found out about this. And even though he had recovered, He knew that his Philippian friends were distressed. They were anxious about him. And so he longed to be with them. He longed to let them know that he was well again.
We'll pick up part two of this message next time, and we'll learn the next two qualities of a good soldier of Christ. If you'd like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website at delightintheword.org. One of the resources we're currently highlighting is a mini book written by pastor and author Jim Neuheiser titled, Help, I Want to Change. In this book, the author gives us practical gospel-centered help in our fight against sin and temptation, and we'll send it to you for a donation to this ministry of any amount. You can give on our website at delightintheword.org. If you live in the Cleveland area and you're not currently attending a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. We'll continue our study in Philippians chapter 2 next time as we, together, delight in the Word.